You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Business of Practice podcast, where we focus on the business and human sides of equine veterinary medicine. In this episode, we're going to talk with Drs. Katie Larson and Sherry Gard about getting involved in organized veterinary medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Grice, business consultant and former equine practice owner. The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you in 2026 by Care Credit. Dr. Katie Larson earned her bachelor's in biology at College of the Holy Cross in 2011 and her Doctor of Veterinary Medicine from the Mississippi State University College of Veterinary Medicine in 2019. She completed a rotating internship in equine medicine and surgery at Littleton Equine Medical Center in Colorado, where she practiced before returning home to New England in 2021. Where she worked at an ambulatory practice on the seacoast for 3 years. In August of 2024, Dr. Larson established Saltwater Equine Emergency Services based in West Newbury, Massachusetts, where she supports her fellow veterinarians by providing contracted emergency service coverage for practices. She served as the president of the New Hampshire Veterinary Medical Association for 2024 to 2026 and on the planning committee for the New England Veterinary Medical Association. Dr. Larson's an active member of the AAEP, contributing to groups that emphasize practice culture, business strategies, and the welfare of working equids. She's a member of the Scientific Review and Editorial Committee, the SREC Business Review Committee, the Healthy Practice Committee, and previously served on the Horses at Risk Working Group. She's a past participant of the Decade One program. Dr. Sherry Gard is originally from the Midwest and is a 2012 graduate of Armstrong Atlantic State University with a degree in microbiology and is a 2016 graduate of the University of Illinois College of Veterinary Medicine. She's also attended Options for Animals College of Animal Chiropractic and the Qi Institute for Acupuncture. She practiced in the Hampton Roads area as an associate for 8 years after graduation, and in 2024 launched her own practice, Guardian Equine Veterinary Services, serving the horse communities of Southeast Virginia and Northeast North Carolina. She is a past participant of the Power of 10 Leadership Program, as well as Decade One, and is currently the 2026 president of the Virginia Veterinary Medical Association, where she's been a board member for 4 years. She's been a speaker for the AAEP Student Program at the annual convention, serves on the AAEP Membership Engagement Committee, and was an AAEP lead attendee in 2025. Dr. Gard frequently mentors veterinary students at her practice, which she enjoys tremendously. In her spare time, she can be found with a good book and a cold beer at the beach. Welcome, Drs. Larson and Dr. Gard. It is so good to have you both with us today.
Thank you for having us, Amy.
Thanks for having us, Dr. Gard.
Absolutely. Good to have you. So years ago, I won't tell you how many years ago, several decades ago, I was involved in my local association and in many capacities over the year at the AAEP. And my participation from the very beginning grew because I was asked by other people to fill a role or do something that was needed. And I said, yes. How did you become involved? Dr. Gard?
For me, it started with an email. It started in vet school, really, when I was at Illinois, our state association had a bit of a tie to our school. And I just thought it was what you do is you are a member of your state association. So when I moved out to Virginia, I just paid my dues because that's what you do. And P.S. for any of those younger, newer grads, your state association usually gives you free dues for the first year. So just do it. And because of that, then I got an email that said something about this program called Power of 10. And I was like, I could do that. And it was for people in the first 10 years since graduation. And I was like, all right, I'll apply. And they accepted me. And I joke that that's kind of a feeder program for my state. And, it was similar to Decade One, but instead of it only being equine folks, it's for anybody. And so I got to meet a lot of really neat people, a lot of smallies, a couple of large animal vets. And there was me and one other equine veterinarian. And from that, and now that I'm on the board, we absolutely look at those folks as people who have potential, who want to do things. And a position opened up as the Virginia Association of Equine Practitioners liaison to the VMA. That is a board of directors position. And so that opened up and nobody else wanted to do it. And they asked me, and I was like, all right, what do I got to do? And they're like, come to meetings twice a year. I can do this. And from there, actually, I think that our VMA board does a good job trying to invite people to the executive committee from different walks of life. So they do try to maybe recruit large animal vets and equine vets. And Dr. Marty Betts was a previous past president, and he caught me at one of those meetings I had to go to and was like, hey, would you like to do this? And I was like, Marty, I don't know, man. What do I got to do? That man lied to me. And he said, well, you come in as the vice president and you don't really do a lot. And I was like, I can do not a lot. That's fine. What he lied about was the next 3 years after that. That vice president role, you don't do a lot. You come to the meetings, whatever. As the president-elect the next year, you got to put on the whole Virginia Veterinary Conference thing. whoa, that was some work. Actually, that was not that was delegation. Thank you for teaching me how to delegate things, Dr. Grice. And then, so now I'm the president. But it all started with one email and me being like, that's a cool opportunity. Let me try that out. And then I was just in the right places. And I was lucky enough to meet some folks that I told Dr. Betts, I was like, I don't know if this is even the right time for me to do this. Like, I just started my business. And I started thinking, I was like, is there ever a good time to do this? No, not really. There's never a good time to get married. There's never a good time to have a kid. There's never a good time to start a business or be on a board.
All of those things that there's never a good time to, when you actually say yes, you just open up your, right? You open up your life to so much more.
The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you by Care Credit. Care Credit keeps equine veterinarians at the heart of care by providing horse owners with simple, budget-friendly financing options. By helping to bridge the gap between costs and care, Care Credit supports healthy financial relationships between veterinarians and their clients. Clients have a flexible way to pay over time for all types of care, and practices get paid in 2 business days. It's a payment experience everyone can feel good about.
What about you, Dr. Larson? How did you get hooked in?
Great question. So, of course, I filled out the volunteer form for AAP, as one does, and are constantly encouraged to do. But I don't really think that that's kind of what got me involved. It sort of started like this. So when I was a student, I went on 3 different equitarian projects. I went to Costa Rica, I went to Samana, and I went to Pine Ridge Reservations. And after connecting with those veterinarians on that trip and starting my job as a new grad, I was asked by one of the leaders on the trip if I wanted to serve on the Horses at Risk Committee, which allocates funds from the foundation to 501c3 organizations. So that's sort of like my first taste of being involved with AAP. And I filled out the form, but I really do think it was the connections I made there that kind of brought me into it. And then in terms of the New Hampshire VMA, so I was at the time back in New England from my stint in Colorado, and I saw, similar to Sherry, I saw an email come across talking about this emerging leader position in 2021 with some perks about going to the New England Veterinary Conference in Portland and going to the Leadership Conference in Chicago. And I thought it'd be a cool way to connect with others, especially small animal vets, because, you know, in equine practice, we're kind of in this small shell and we know everyone in it. But there's so many other veterinarians and other facets that I don't know. So it was that opportunity, and from there it just kind of spiraled into other positions. And the emerging leader position is similar to what Sherry was talking about. It's really a position where you show up to meetings, and it can be a feeder position for other positions. And then as I was involved, showed up to things, tried to participate, really got to know people. They started to say, well, what do you think about vice president? You think you would stay on for that position? And so I got roped in, but it was really been a great experience.
Yeah. So your experiences, your participation, what would you say you've learned and gained, and what's your proudest achievement when all that you've done in Dr. Larson?
That's a great question. Thanks, Amy. So I have learned that there are so many layers to leadership, and I honestly find it quite humbling. So during my last year as president of our association, we had our executive director quit unexpectedly, and I was in a bit of a panic to hire someone fast because they do so much for the organization and really help everything run smoothly and help make my job so much easier. So I did luck out and I found a fantastic team to take over the position, but I really learned, kind of looking back at that and reflecting on what had gone down with our other director, how I could have been a better boss and a better mentor to her. Could have done more monthly check-ins and communicated better and potentially have retained her. So, you know, it's cool because I'm a solo practitioner and I don't have any staff, but in this position, I can act in a way that I have employees. So it was a good lesson for me, and we were able to come out with a great outcome. We have a fantastic team, but that experience really taught me to kind of reflect and look at things a little closer. So that was good. And then in terms of my proudest moment, it's currently being finalized. But that is changing the Practice Act to eliminate lay voting as an exception to the statement that dentistry is considered veterinary medicine. Of course, this is thanks to a boarded equine dentist in the area who really helped me with this, but that's a huge thing. And of course, it takes a long time to get these things changed, but it's going through the works of getting all of that finalized. And honestly, it was something where people in the past just did not question the status quo or didn't really want to, make people uncomfortable or put them in a tricky situation. So I'm very excited about that, and it's yet to come, but yeah.
So that will basically define dentistry as veterinary medical. Yeah.
Yes, that's correct. Because currently it says that dentistry is veterinary medicine with the exception of floating equine teeth. So what we're doing is we're taking that out.
Taking that phrase out.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Congratulations. That's quite an achievement. And I wonder if you'll hear from others around the country who are trying to do the same thing when this hits the big time, you know? Yeah, because lots of people are trying to do that. So what about you, Dr. Gard? You know, what have you learned? What have you gained? I keep seeing on the Facebook page for the VVMA, like, you're everywhere. You're doing everything. And then like your term's not over, but so your proudest achievement may not have happened yet. So you'll just have to tell me so far.
Yeah. One, Katie, how huge is that? Congrats, man. That is wow.
Thank you.
So yeah, Dr. Grice, I am everywhere.
See that.
It's funny. One of my farrier friends said something about that the other day. He's like, are you ever even home? I'm like, not really. You know, sleep is for the week and I'm traveling a lot. And everything, as telling Katie, you know, nothing for the VVMA happens in my hometown. Our office is at least in Richmond, so it's only a couple hours for me. We have huge ties to the school, so I'm over in Blacksburg a bit, and I'm like, could we get like a direct flight from my town to that town? Or I'll take the train. I like to ride the train. Like, can we do that? But yeah, it's been a whirlwind so far. And I mean, I just took over as president in February. And I've already missed some of it. I've delegated some of my responsibilities for some of these figurehead things to other folks. Like I had our previous past president, Dr. Newman, step in for the white coat ceremony. He was going to be there anyway. He had some mentor students. And I was like, Brian, why don't you just give the speech, man? Because sometimes it's hard to be away from your solo practice, right? And I think that's something that's different for equine vets. I've learned a lot on my time on the executive board. A couple big things are absolutely like how legislation actually works and who is responsible for those things. You know, Katie is, you know, pushing some stuff through in her state. And on the board of directors as the liaison for the equine folks, like we have legislation day every year, and our state VMA has a lobbyist. Susan comes in and she talks about, you know, what is coming up, what happens, what we care about and what we don't. And some things at face value seem like they're a veterinary issue and then they're not. Some things feel like they're very, very important. And her actually talking through some of the steps for legislation made me realize that like where we need to put our funds and where we need to put our efforts. I didn't realize that if you want to make something a felony that comes with jail time, that comes with a financial piece for the state, because then there I have to pay for a prisoner. And if that something comes with a financial piece, that makes it a lot harder to do anything with it. And so there was, I don't remember the exact bill, but there was something real big and they're like, yeah, if anybody slaps a puppy, they're going to spend 10 years in jail. And she's like, well, that sounds nice. It's never going to get through legislation because that jail time comes with a financial piece and it's never going to be in the budget. But so learning how legislation actually happens was, it was very, very eye-opening. And then I had this conversation with Dr. Mitchell Rohde. He's the current treasurer of AAEP. And, you know, people will come to the EP and be like, why doesn't AAEP have a stance on this, and we need to fight the lay floaters or whatever. And the AAEP does not have anything to do with legislation because we are national and there are so many things that are very state driven. And that's something that I don't think a lot of people understand, right? To have things like doing what Katie's doing right now, that has to come at a state level. It's never going to come at a national level. That has to be a state thing. And that's in the State Practice Act. So if you want to not have lay floaters in your state like North Carolina does or like New Hampshire now, you have to be, that has to be state legislation. And, you know, AAEP can have an opinion about it. They can't do anything about it. So that was definitely eye-opening for me. And then also, small animal vets have no idea what we do or what we care about at all.
It's true.
It's amazing. And it's funny because at the heart of it in my state, they want to care. They're just clueless. And this has come up. So we are currently discussing our VCPR and our practice act and that sort of thing. And, you know, this has come up a lot with the mid-level practitioner stuff that came up through certain states. And then also with some of the conglomerates and now places like Amazon and Chewy wanting to have telemedicine, and how do we protect ourselves in from a state level, the legislators see these things as, well, it's better healthcare, right? More people can get serviced. And we all know that that's maybe a little bit jaded. And the small animal vets that sat on the legislative committee absolutely did not want to overstep. they thought that the large animal vets would be upset about having to have an in-person VCPR established. And it's funny because there are three of us, two that are large animal mixed-ish, but they do mostly cattle. And then there were two smallies and then me as the equine and most opinionated people. And it's funny because the three of us that do large animal are the most opinionated about it absolutely being in-person establishment in a 12-month time limit mm-hmm. on it.
Yeah.
And the smallies were like, oh, we thought that you guys would want. I'm like, no, we don't. And we fight this just as much with the things like we already are dealing with some of those conglomerates. You know, Farm Vet does it to us. You know, absolutely Chewy and that sort of thing. So the poor smallies, I get to educate them a lot. I'm like, you have no idea what I do, do you?
That's so interesting, though, that they wouldn't, yeah. that they don't really understand. And
yeah.
I mean, really, I don't necessarily understand their world either.
No, like who wants to talk about fleas know. All day? Like, yeah. How do they do that?
Anal sex. That's no. all. That's all I'm going to say.
Exactly. Right. But it has been so much fun working with all these folks and networking with all these different people and being able to show them a piece of my world too. And as far as my proudest achievement, it honestly, 2 weeks ago, it was two weekends ago, I got to speak at the Virginia Maryland College of Veterinary Medicine hooding ceremony. And as the president of the VVMA, I get to give the welcome to the profession little doodad. And that came at the 10-year anniversary of my graduation. And cool. It was just such a
That's
full
awesome.
Circle moment, so cool. Right? I was just like
full circle.
It was great, and it was so humbling. And you know, the fact that like I'm friends with our dean, and you know, and telling those students about this networking, you know, that the people that are in my cell phone, I have a group chat with people that are internists and surgeons and deans of schools, and then I have my small animal vet school friends. You know, I have an ER critical care boarded friend, and I have a shelter vet friend, and I have a lab animal, and these guys are all like nerds with extra letters on their names. And then, you know, I ask him like, my dog looks funny, what's that? It was just so great. And it was funny because the Maryland VMA president, she's also an Illinois grad, and she got to get up and have them give the oath. And I'm like, represent, we are both of us, and Katie too, right? You graduated from Mississippi.
That's right.
You don't have to be from my state to be a part of the VVMA. And in fact, we have quite a few Illinois grads that have come through my executive committee. And I'm like, you don't have to be from here. We love y'all, you know? And I told them, if you go to another state, get into it. It was awesome to be that person. I got to talk to the kids. They don't have a clue. They probably will never remember what I said, but being on that awesome. Stage 10 years later was so great.
That sounds like such a nice experience, you know? Wow. So you were talking a little bit about how our listeners, people out there that want to be more involved, how would you, what kind of advice would you give them about getting involved? And, you know, you've given some of that advice already, but tell us some more, Dr. Gard.
Well, like I said, there's never a good time to do this. And I feel very passionately about having my voice heard, especially as an equine vet. There are way more small animal vets out there than there are equine vets. And it's also very difficult for us. If you think about our demographics, we are still mostly small practices, solo practitioners, things like that. And so for me to take time off from my business, I have to hire a relief vet or find somebody to cover my emergencies, cover my patients, and I have to go to these events. And that can be very daunting. And so, but I fear that our voices are not going to be heard, and now somebody else is going to make a decision for me, and that's not okay. And so I've made it a priority to have my voice heard and to stand up for us. But there's never a good time. And I also see a lot of folks, not that this is bad, you have more time when you're retired, and the smallies get to retire before we do. And so I've seen some of those folks on the boards. Now, I've watched this transition whenever I first got out of school. A lot of these folks that were on the executive committee were, you know, in the twilight of their clinical career, and now they had more time to do these things, and they're off my board and they're serving on other committees. And I'm not saying that you're not clinically or relevant, but do you really have the best interest of me? If you're the guy that's retired that sold his practice, you're a small animal vet, you sold your practice to corporate, do you really know what I need? Maybe not. So if you make time, it's just like a kid, man. Not that I've ever had a kid, nor do I want one, but they seem like a lot of time. And so is the VBMA.
You have
and
dogs.
There's never a good time to do it. Just do it, you know? It's all that. We just have to. And it can start small. Just say yes once. And all of a sudden it'll just roll.
Say yes. Years ago, there was a anti-drug campaign that was just say no. So our campaign is just say yes. Say yes.
Yeah.
I remember that dare.
Yep. Yeah. Dare. Keep kids off drugs. Just say no.
That's right. Just say no. Only in our case, just say yes. What about you, Dr. Larson? What do you think? What's your advice?
Well, I would echo a lot of what Sherry said, but my feeling is just raise your hand, go to a local CE event that's sponsored by your VMA, fill out the AAP volunteer interest form, and if there's a group that you're interested in the AAP, just email the person, just show up and do it. And if someone doesn't respond, email them again or call them. And don't feel like you're harassing people. It shows your interest. So that's my.
And you could also attend a committee meeting at convention. Absolutely. Like show up at one of the, because I know people notice who's there. Like you're definitely welcomed when you show up to those. So.
I think that's something not everybody realizes, that you can attend those things, right? I actually, the first time I ever went to it was a membership meeting. I didn't even know it was a thing. And Dr. Grice, you told me about it. So I showed up and then I voiced my opinions. But people don't realize, come to those committee meetings. You can come to the VVMA board meetings. Like we have, for my association, we have them with our mentor days at the school. Could we try to pair them with other events so that we can get bigger outcomes for those things? We pair them with the mentor days. We pair them with our annual convention every year. Like you're allowed as a member of our organization to come to those. See how it works.
Totally. Yeah. And recently we actually had a small equine New Hampshire VMA CE dinner, and we had a small animal relief vet show up. And I'm like, I'm so impressed by that. And I'm like, I think we need to ask him to be on our board. He was super friendly and was just like, I was in the area and this looked fun. I'm like, okay.
And so did you get his name and everything so that you can? All right. See, then that's important. So as we're closing, what do you think? Anything else you'd like to share with our listeners, Dr. Larson? Like making sure when somebody shows up that you don't think you'll remember their name, that you actually try and write it down, put it in your phone, get their number.
Yeah, make sure you cross-check the attendee list. Well, my thing is just taking advantage of every opportunity. You never know what connections you're going to make. I mean, I keep saying that I harass people. I kind of do, but just go out there and do it if you have any interest or inkling at all. I mean, when I was a student, I talked a little bit about those equitarian trips, but when I was a student, I wanted to go on these trips and I wanted to get them funded. So I just went to all ends of the earth to figure out how to get them funded. And so just take advantage of everything.
Yeah. How about you, Dr. Gard? Anything you'd like to share?
I'm going to say be the change, right? I think this is huge for me. You can't complain about problems if you're not willing to be part of the solution. And that is why I sit on these boards. That is why I've said yes to things. That is why I have bothered people at AAP. There are things that need to change, and I can sit back and complain about it, or I can make a difference. And I tell every student that gets in my truck that, and little things do matter. You know, you showing up at that membership meeting and voicing your opinion, don't just let all the, you know, the retirees in be our voice. They're not the voice of our profession anymore. they still have a great place in it. But I'm in clinical medicine. I am here. The students coming up, the new grads, you guys are so important. You have to voice your opinions and you need to be that change.
That, I love that. Thank you. Thank you both for being with me today. It's been great to have you here as our guests. And a big thank you to all our listeners. Thanks for joining us for the Business of Practice podcast. And a big thank you to our sponsor, Care Credit. And to all my listeners out there, be brave, embrace change, get involved, and say yes.